Great is your faithfulness, O God. From beginning to end, throughout all generations, you are faithful, and you've proven yourself faithful time and time again to us in our lives. And we know that when the disciples came to Jesus, they asked him, how are we supposed to pray? Teach us how to pray. And you responded with the Lord's Prayer. Part of the Lord's Prayer in there is, give us this day our daily bread. So, Lord, that's our prayer right now. We're not asking for tomorrow's bread. We're not asking for you to say, hey, line up bread. We want all the bread from now on till forever. No, what he's asking is, give us our daily needs on a daily basis. Give us today our daily bread, because it's a continual dependence upon you, O God. So we trust that you're going to continue to provide for us. I mean, the very fact that all of us are standing here in this room is a testament to your faithfulness to us, that you have provided everything that we need to live. And so, God, in the same way that we can look throughout all of the Bible and our past and human history, and we can identify, we can say, wow, this is how God has been faithful to all these people. We can look at that, we can trust and say, God, we believe that you're going to be faithful to us in the future as well, and also in the middle of our circumstances. So maybe there's somebody here right now that you're feeling like you're caught in the storm a little bit. You're not exactly sure how something is going to work out. Just know this, that God has never abandoned. He's never abandoned you one day in your life, and he's not going to now. God is faithful. And so, Lord, we worship you for who you are, for your faithfulness, for your trustworthiness, for your goodness to us. And Lord, we just give you the praise, the glory, the honor that you deserve. We pray that as we hear just a message from your holy word through Pastor Chad today, that God, would you just open up our hearts, make us receptive to what you have to say, so we can change, so we can transform, be more like Jesus. Be a light in a world that needs it. God, we love you. Give you the praise, glory, and honor that you deserve. In your name, amen.
Let's say a prayer this morning. Jesus, we love you today, and we're so glad to be in this room. I pray that now, God, you would open the truth of your word to us, and I pray that you would give me clarity in sharing it, and that, Jesus, you would be present here. And as I always pray, God, I pray that most of all we would just see you, that we would hear your voice, and that our world would be different because of today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So a woman arrived at the gates of heaven. She sees St. Peter there. This is a fictional story, just so you know. But she sees St. Peter there, and she said, this is such a wonderful place. How do I get in? And St. Peter said, you have to spell a word. She said, what word? Charlie, you're going to love this. She said, what word? And he said, love. So she spelled that word, L-O-V-E. And St. Peter opened the gate, and she entered into heaven. About a year later, St. Peter came to that same woman and said, can you keep watch over the gate today for me all day long? And the woman gladly did so. So the woman was standing there guarding the gates of heaven, and her husband arrived at the gate. She said, I'm surprised to see you here. How have you been? To which her husband said, oh, I've been doing pretty well since you passed. I married that beautiful nurse that took care of you when you were ill. And then I won the multi-state lottery, and then I sold that little house that we lived in, and I bought a huge mansion, and then my wife and I, we traveled all around the world. We went on vacation to Cancun. Today I went water skiing for the first time, and then I fell, and I hit my head, and now here I am, and I just have one question. What do I have to do to get in? And his former wife said to him, you have to spell a word. And he said, what word? And she said, Czechoslovakia. There has been a constant tension all through time over who gets invited to a party, who is welcome at the table. Now, this message comes with a warning label. I want to show it to you. You will, at some point in the next 30 minutes, my oldest son reminded me I preached longer than 30 minutes last hour, so I'm going to try to not do that. But you will, at some point in the next 30 minutes, be uncomfortable. You will be challenged. You may want to cheer, but you also might cringe. You have been warned. You have been warned. Now, I'm telling you that because the people in the story that we are going to read in Luke chapter 14, they would have been uncomfortable. They would have been challenged. They would have had moments maybe where they wanted to cheer, but I'm telling you this, they also would have cringed. They would have cringed. I want you to picture in your mind, if you would, a great banquet. I want you to picture a room, and it is filled with row upon row upon row of tables. In front of each of those tables, if you've ever been at a great banquet like this, this isn't like going to Golden Corral where they give you a bucket and a fork and tell you to have at it. This is where you have multiple plates, multiple forks, multiple knives, and you don't know which one to use first. You know how that goes when you sit down at a meal like that? I want you to picture that banquet. You can smell in your air, in the air, what they cooked for that meal, like whatever that feast is, whatever your favorite food is, if it is roasted pig or barbecue or steak or whatever it is. I don't know if you're a vegetarian, like tofu with some kind of glaze on it. I don't know. But imagine they cooked your favorite food for that banquet. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. And it's in this moment that Jesus speaks about a grand banquet. And I want you to hear his words in verse 16 of chapter 14. Jesus replies, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, big room, lots of tables, lots of guests, and had invited many guests." This isn't when you're a little kid and you're having your birthday party and your mom says to you, you can invite three people because she doesn't want like 33, you know, third graders running around. You can invite three. No, no, no. There were many guests. This is a many guest party. "And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" So like the catering service has got all the food in order. Like everything is now ready. But listen to verse 18. "They all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.'" Now, I don't know a ton about real estate, but let me tell you this. If you're buying a field and you haven't seen it, you shouldn't be buying a field. That's just my opinion. Okay, so the first one had some wealth. Like if you're able to throw money around like that, you're buying stuff sight unseen, then you have some wealth issues. And that was the hurdle for this first person. Another person said, though, "I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Now you say, well, I'm not buying any oxen. How does this apply to me? Imagine, I just bought a brand new Chevy truck. Okay, I just bought a brand new Chevy truck. And I got to go test drive it. Please excuse me. It's kind of a strange excuse because you would say to yourself, well, why wouldn't you test them out first? But for whatever reason, I just bought these oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another one. This is my favorite one. Another one said, "I just got married. I just got married. So I can't come." It's almost like he's pinning it on his wife a little bit. Like, "I just got married, so I can't come to the party." The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house did what? The owner of the house became what? What does it say on the screen? Became angry. Became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes. The literal word there in the Greek in this passage is go out into the hedges is what it says. Go out to the hedges. It's like go out all the way into the boonies. Go out all the way to the edges, to the hedges, to the country lanes, and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And I tell you, that not one of those, talking about those who made those excuses, who were invited, will get a taste of my banquet. Notice, he says they won't even get a nibble of that. They won't even get a taste of the banquet. But the ones we're looking for are the crippled, the poor, the blind, and the lame. Now, this story is a picture of the heart of God. This story is a picture of the heart of God. This parable is a picture of the response that Israel had to God. God had invited them to his kingdom. They were his chosen people, and they had accepted, but now they're making all these excuses why they can't come. And so Jesus says, you know what? If they won't come, the ones that we would imagine that would come and sit at this table, if they have excuses why they won't come, then here's what we're going to do. We're going to invite the lame, those who can't move forward in life, the blind, those who lack vision in life, the crippled, those who are unable to move with any level of confidence in life, and the physically marred. We're going to invite all of them in, and they are invited to the table. They're invited to this table. So in this story, there are four chairs. There is the master of the feast, that is God. God is the master of this feast. There are the servants going out and extending this grand invitation, telling everyone that the banquet is ready. That represents Jesus, but it also represents anyone who would follow after Jesus, that we would go out and compel people to come in. And then there are the expected guests. There's the people that we just went through, the one who had the oxen and the one who had the field and the one who had the oxen in the field, the one who just got married. And that's the expected guests. And then there are the guests that you wouldn't have expected at all. The crippled, and the blind, and the lame. And when Jesus said that to this group of people, they would have gasped. Because in the book of Leviticus, it tells us that the lame, and the blind, and the crippled, and the physically marred, they weren't even allowed in the temple to worship. And now Jesus says, they're welcome at my party. They are welcome at my party. Jesus is saying something that is in direct contradiction to what the people around that table had created. They had created a table where everyone around that table were people that they thought, these are the good people, the nice people, the happy people, the friendly people. These are people who think like me, talk like me, act like me, sing songs like me. These are people just like me. They had created that world. And Jesus says, no. Not in my kingdom. The feast that I have in mind has the crippled and the blind and the lame at the table. The feast that I have in mind is a feast of a different kind. So, rapid gear shift. I want to show you a picture of one of my favorite restaurants in the world. This is a restaurant called the Bunker Hill Chill and Grill. It's a real restaurant. The Bunker Hill Chill and Grill. It is in Burnups, Michigan. This restaurant I frequented probably once or twice a week during the days that I lived in Burnups. Burnups is not a big town. It's a town of a couple hundred people. Bunker Hill was about all we had. Best thing about Bunker Hill Chill and Grill is you get the third egg free Monday through Thursday. Now, on the Friday, you go in there and you order three eggs. You got to pay for that third egg. But if you go in there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you say, I'd like two eggs, they would look at you and say, well, would you like a third egg free? And you would say, of course you want a third egg free, because who doesn't want a third egg free, right? And so you'd get your third egg free Monday through Thursday at Bunker Hill. So I moved to town. I asked people in our town. I said, where do I need to go to understand this community? Where do I need to go to learn about this town, to get to know people and all of that? And everybody said the same thing. They said, you need to go to Bunker Hill. I was like, well, I'll go to Bunker Hill. So I get in my car. Bunker Hill was about a mile down the road from my house. And I drive down to Bunker Hill. And I walk in the door. The very first time I walk in the door, I open the door. There's a little bell on the door. And it ding, ding. And bell rings when you walk in. And then there's a sign. And the sign says, please wait to be seated. Now, this was back in the day when I first went in this restaurant. This was back in the day when you could smoke anywhere. Smoke for me just is difficult for me. It makes me feel sick. And so I walked in and I said, where's the non-smoking section? And she said, oh, I'll show you. Now you have to understand the picture you have here, off to the side, there was a salad bar. And that salad bar was about as high as the salad bar over here at Coop's Pizza. And so the salad bar divided smoking from non-smoking, okay? And so smoking section is just filled up. I mean, it's just like smoke billowing from the smoking section, and the non-smoking section, we're back in the back, and the only dividing thing is the salad. So your salad tasted like nicotine. Like you could get I never got addicted to salad, but I came close, you know. And so there's salad there in the middle. And so I go in and I sit down in the back, and the waitress comes and she gives me a menu, and I look around and I'm like, why am I the only one back here? Like, apparently everybody in Salem Township is a chain smoker or something. I don't know. And so I look up to the front of the room, and I notice something. Very first time I was in this restaurant. This is a true story. Julie will tell you. It's a totally true story. Front of the room, the entire front of the restaurant was full, completely full of people. All men, by the way. Completely full of people. So I said to the waitress, she came back, and I said, hey, quick question. Why is everybody sitting up there and nobody is sitting back here? Like, why is that? Nobody's sitting anywhere else in the restaurant. Why is everybody sitting up there? And she said, this is true. She said, oh, that is the wall, she said. I have graphics. I brought my Telestrator. That is the wall. I said, what do you mean it's the wall? She said, well, to sit on the wall, you have to live in this town for a really, really long time. To sit on the wall, you have to be invited to sit on the wall. I looked at her and I said, like, what is this, the fifth grade? Like, you're not allowed to sit anywhere you want to sit. No, no, no. You have to be invited to sit on the wall. Now, I looked and I said, why is everyone sitting on that wall? She said, well, that's by invitation only. Well, I thought this was crazy. And so I noticed, by the way, that there were people from my church. They were sitting on the wall. Didn't even have the heart to invite their pastor to sit on the wall. So I go on my way. And I see my friend Brent that week. And I'm like, Brent, I got to talk to you about something. And he said, what's that? And he liked Bunker Hill as well. He watches online. And Brent would tell you that the best sandwich at Bunker Hill, forget the third egg free thing, double bacon, double beef. And it comes with like your, what do you call that when you get your heart fixed? I mean, it comes with a bypass surgery is what he would say. But Brent said to me, I said, what's the deal with the wall down there at the restaurant? I said, is that a real thing? And Brent said, Chad, it is all too real. And I said, do we live in an alternative universe? Like, what in the world is going on? And he said, Chad, do not sit there unless you are invited. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. This is the silliest thing I've ever heard of in my life. So day upon day goes on, week upon week goes on. I walk in the restaurant, I sit down, and the wall is full. And it's driving me nuts. I mean, it is driving me nuts. And one day, I said to my friend Brent, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? He said, what's that? I said, I'm going to Bunker Hill, and I'm sitting on the wall. And he looked at me and said, Chad, that is not advisable at all. And he said, if you want to live here for a long time, don't do it. He said, you notice who isn't sitting on the wall? Carlos Fletcher. You know who Carlos Fletcher was? I was like, yeah, he was the guy who was the pastor here before me. Operative word, before you, Chad. He's gone. He got run out of town trying to sit on the wall. I'm like, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. I wake up that morning. I looked at Julie. I got 3 ounces of courage from somewhere. I don't know. I got myself all fired up. I put on my coat. And I said to Julie, I said, babe, I'm going to Bunker Hill, and I'm sitting on the wall today. And she looked at me, and she's like, please don't get arrested. Like, please don't get hurt. Like, well, don't do it. And I walk in, the door rings, and she said, "Oh, I'll show you your table." And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. And I walked all the way along that whole wall, just sitting there. I walked all the way along, and I sat all the way down at the end, down there by the picture on the wall. And no kidding, they all did this at one time. They all turned and looked at me. And I was just like, "Hey, guys, good to see you. I'm drinking my water, you know. Good to see you guys." And Earl Heasley, my neighbor, he was a cranky old sort, and he went to our church. And Earl, you know, you can tell how good of a pastor I was to him, Steve. And so Earl says to me, he turns to me, and he says, "What are you doing?" He's whispering like this, "What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing, preacher? What are you doing?" And he's like talking into his hand. And I said, "Well, I'm having breakfast, third egg free, Monday through Thursday. That's what I'm doing. And if I stay here long enough, I might have a burger for lunch. And that's what I'm doing." And he said, no, you can't do this." And I was like, "Okay, one day, just one day, I just want to sit here." He's like, "One day, man, just one." I sat there for the rest of my time in Burnups, Michigan. And they never liked it. They never did. Now, I tell you that really corny story to tell you this. There was a party that they were part of, and nobody else was invited. There was a party that they were having, and nobody else was welcome. The people who were welcome were the people who looked like them and talked like them and acted like them. I wondered, what do they talk about up there? You know what I learned they talk about? They talk about the president, no matter who the president was. They talk about the government, no matter who's running it. They're always complaining about something. They were always frustrated about something. And they had a table, a world that they had formed of people just like themselves. Jesus says, when you throw a feast, if the people turn you down that have a field to go look at and oxen to go check and they just got married, then go out and invite people you would never invite. Jesus says, go out and invite the lame and the blind and the crippled, the hurting. This table represents the kingdom of God. It represents eternity. It represents heaven. This table represents the fact that the kingdom of God, it represents the fact that it goes on forever. This great feast isn't a little like come and go banquet. This great feast is a feast that lasts for all time. And this feast is a party. It is a party you want to go to. It is a party that satisfies the longing that you've had every day of your life. It is a party that represents your heart's greatest desire. It is a banquet that is the very marriage supper of the Lamb, where Jesus receives his bride, where a price has been paid, where lost has been found, where a prodigal son can come home, where a father has his children, and there's music, and there's dancing, and there's shouting, and in the midst of all of this, there's some people who say, "No, I can't come to that party. I can't come to that party." And so the master says this, then go out into the bushes. Go out into the bushes and invite them in. The word there is to compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. It's not about physical compelling. It's not like you're grabbing someone and pulling them in. No, but it's a pleading. It's a longing. It's a compelling of someone to come in. Now, here's what I want you to realize. This invitation is the most important invitation in the world. Inviting someone to this banquet table is the most important invitation in the world. There is no greater invitation that we offer to someone than to say, "Would you like to sit at this table?" There is no greater invitation. This makes sitting on the wall in Bunker Hill seems like the stuff of third grade. No, this is significant, and this is weighty, because to sit at this table means that you have life and life abundant. Somebody might say, "Well, I'm not cleaned up enough to come to this table." And Jesus says, "You come with a humble heart, with a spirit that's contrite, and you confess your sins. I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. There's no one that's too far gone. You are welcome at this table." See, the invitation to this banquet table is a really urgent thing. It is a really urgent thing, because every day people breathe their final breath. And they spend an eternity one of two places. And this banquet table, we are invited to come. And you say, well, I thought Jesus was the one doing the inviting. There's no doubt he's been pursuing you every day of your life. But we are his hands and we are his feet and we are the ones. We are the ones who not only have to extend this invitation, but we get to extend this invitation of hope to anyone. Now, I'll tell you this, friends. The master hates empty seats. And so the master says, I want my house to be full. The invitation is urgent. Here's the second thing I want you to get today. That willingness to change in this keeps us on mission. Think with me for a minute. So the heart of the Father is that the house would be full. The master hates empty seats. And so he says, go out first. And he invites these people and there's all these excuses. And then there's empty seats. And so the master says to the servants, now go out. I know I told you this, but here's what I'm saying now. Go out and invite the blind and the lame and the crippled that my house may be full. And the servants in this do not say, well, I don't like that plan. What about just keeping it for us? What about just doing this with people who look like us, think like us, talk like us? No, no, no. God says, I want you to go out and be open to change. Open to embracing some people that are different than you, that don't look like you, that don't talk like you, that don't think like you. Jesus says all through the scriptures, God says, all through the scriptures, that the scriptures are about change. Isaiah 43, I'm about to do something new. That's change, and it's already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway in the wilderness and rivers in the wasteland. God, this book is a book of change. It's a book of change, of transformation. And so when God says, I want you to go on a path that's different than you've gone on before, the answer is always yes. The answer is always yes. Here's the last one. We need to be fully engaged in the mission. You say, well, what's the mission? It's the mission of inviting people to the table. And you say, well, somebody else can do that. Somebody who's more gifted than me, somebody who thinks better than me, somebody who talks better than me, somebody who doesn't have the past that I have. And I would say, no, 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 no. This is an all skate, everybody. We need to be fully engaged in inviting people to the table. So if you've trusted Christ, you've dedicated your life to Christ, you've given your life to Christ, then it's on us now to say, how do we pass that on to someone else? To someone else. So what would it look like for us to be radiant in this way? I think it would mean this. I told you last week. I think it would mean we would live out a radiant mission. I think we would say, what can we do to connect every single life to Jesus? There is no life that is too far gone. I sat with a man this week down here at the jail. I'm sitting there, it's across the table from this man. We talked together. He shared some things with me. He'd been there quite some time. We kind of walked through some things. And at the end of our conversation, I said, is there anything else you want to talk about? And he looked at me, and this is what he said. And he said, would God forgive someone who's done all of the wrong that I've done? And the answer to that is absolutely yes, I told him. The answer to that is absolutely yes. It's about saying, no matter how far gone you are, no matter how far you've wandered, that God might give us one person that we can connect to Jesus. Now, that man didn't pray a prayer. I said, would you like to trust Christ? He said, no, not today. And he said, my faith gets me through, but I don't want to pray today. And I said, I understand that. But I'll tell you, the prayer that I pray every day in my life, and I want every one of us to pray it, is God, would you give us one person, just one, each of you, that God would give you one person that you could connect their life, that you could introduce them to Jesus and invite them to this table. Here's a second thing, radiant faith. Radiant faith. I keep asking myself the question, what if God has only begun what he has in mind to accomplish through our church? What if God has only begun what he has in mind to accomplish? What if we had faith for what's to come? Radiant generosity. What if we said, here's my time, and here's my talent, and here's my treasure, and I want to take all of that, and I want to be generous, that we would have opportunity to share, opportunity to invite, that we would be generous in that way, and a radiant invitation. I walked into a business this week. Gal behind the counter turns to me, and she said, you're Chad McCollum. Or she didn't even say that. She turned to me and she said, you're Jack's dad. And I said, well, yes, I am. I said, how do you know Jack? Jack's our youngest boy. And she said, well, my son's in Jack's class. And I was like, oh, that's great. And I said, what do you think of Jack? And he's like, oh, he's a sweet kid. What a great kid. I said, I think so too. And so we start to talk. And she said, you're the pastor up there at the Wesleyan Church. I said, yes, I am. And she said, you know, she said, I have been out of church for so long. I really, really need to get back in church. And I said, she said, you know, I guess I'm kind of scared though. Like if I come, will I be welcome? Well, it's almost like she's saying, will they want me to sit at the table? And I said, I want you to know you will be more than welcome. You will be an honored guest. You will be celebrated. It'd be so great to see you. I'd love to have you come. Earlier this week, I'm driving down the road. I'm in my car. My window broke on my Ford Edge. The mechanism broke. And so I pull into the auto body shop, and the guy looks at me and he says, you're the pastor at the Wesleyan Church. I said, well, yeah, I am, yeah. And he said, I need to get in church. I need to get in church. And I said, you're more than welcome. What if we just have that kind of inviting posture? I think if we did, our church would look like this. I think it would look just like the picture that's going to be on the screen in 3, 2, 1. I think it would look like this. We'd be a radiant church. We'd be a church that lets light shine in the darkness. I think a church like that would be the most welcoming place in this community. I'm not saying that we don't acknowledge that there's sin in our lives that we need to confess. I'm not saying that everyone's in and you don't have to change. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you simply raise your hand and pray a prayer and then you're good to go. I'm saying we all grow up in Christ together, but a church like that is a radiant church. So I'd like you to bow your heads with me. And I want to close in this way today. I'd like you to think in your own life of your journey. And I'd like you to think of some place that you could let your light shine this week. It might be your home. It might be your workplace. It might be in a small group. Some place that you could let your light shine. And then I want you to think of someone that you could let your light shine to. Someone who needs to know the light of Christ in their life. And I want you to hear these words from the book of Matthew. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. It's time that we go public with this, as public as a city on a hill. And if I make you a bearer of light, you don't think that I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? No, I'm going to put you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on that stand of light, on that light stand, then shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. And by opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So Jesus, may our light shine. May our light shine as a church. May it shine clearly in a loving way so that all will know. So that all will know. In Christ's name.
So God, we pray for that courage to confidently and boldly proclaim the truth of your word that Jesus Christ is Lord. Give us the guts to share it with our neighbors, to share it with our co-workers and friends. I pray that you give us a fire to go out and invite people from the highways and the byways and invite them to the great feast, just to come see who this Jesus is. Lord, if we pray for your radiant glory to just reflect upon us, God, so we can shine out into the world, that they'll take a look and they'll see, wow, there really is something different. There's something transformed about this life. city on a hill cannot be hidden. So God, may we be that kind of a church. We love you. Give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now go and be the church. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you soon.